All right. Any more prayer requests? Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? I had to come over here a couple times during the week last week and take communion. I never had cedar fever, I guess, before, but evidently that's what attacked me. That was just a strange thing, and then it really hit my wife, but I got over it pretty good. This is nearly free. And that's the best medicine that you can take. You know, a curious thing about Jesus, a blind man came up to him one time and needed healing. And Jesus reached down and grabbed some dirt and spit in it and made clay and rubbed it in his eyes. He said, "What do you got?" He said, I see, man, it's trees. And he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and he got his vision back. The curious thing about that story, or that, not story, but it's a truth, but the curious thing about that account is Jesus reached up and picked up dirt, which is broken creation. And he showed us that you're not going to be able to fix a man with broken creation. But he told him to go to the pool of Siloam. Siloam means the sent one. Go to Jesus. He created us. He knows how to fix us. You know, one of the things about modern medicine, it masks the symptoms, but it doesn't get down to the root of the disease. It just covers the symptoms up. This gets to the root. The Bible tells us that by His stripes we were healed. So when we partake of this body of Christ, we need to discern what happened to it. And Jesus' body was broken and bruised for us. And it's by His stripes, you can see stripes in this bread. And you can see where this body, this bread has been pierced. Everything Jesus did for us, in His passion, He did for us. When we partake of the communion, we can expect to have healing in our body. So, Father, we thank You that You laid all of our sins and all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, all of our shortcomings on Jesus when He was on that cross. And Jesus paid the price. He paid the penalty that we deserved to pay. And He set us free from the curse of the law. So we thank You for this, and we're taking this for our healing. That blood of Jesus was shed on purpose for us. Not only does the blood of Jesus wash away our sins, but it makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's important to always remember. We're in right standing with God. Whatever was wrong between us and God before we got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And now we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace and stand in His presence just as if I'd never sinned. because you've been justified freely by His grace. That's how God sees you. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. You see yourself will determine the result. You can't get away from that. How you see yourself will determine the result. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you are 100% right. You know, I've seen so many people start out on things they didn't think they could do, and they didn't get it done. And then you see people that seem to be winners, and they think they can do. Now, here's the thing. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So now, you know, we get faced sometimes with insurmountable odds, with giant tasks. And with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That's important to remember. We're not fighting anything alone, or you shouldn't be. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It doesn't say anything about you being strong in yourself. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Look over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 9. Or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Huh? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Yeah, I kind of threw you.
Yeah, you did.
Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things. That's Timothy. 2 Thessalonians. Sorry about that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now here's the important thing here that we just read in 2 Thessalonians. Do not let the enemy steal God's vision for you. Do not let the enemy steal God's vision for you. A counterfeit prophetic vision appears real, but is a false and misleading picture of God's purpose for our future. The distortion can be subtle and lead us down the wrong path. Ask Holy Spirit to line your heart and dreams with the dream God has for you, for your life. Notice this. I said, ask Holy Spirit. Too many people want to run to the pastor. Say, what do you think? You don't want to know what I think. I'm going to tell you, are you born again? Yeah? If you're not, you're going to get that way pretty quick. You got a Bible? Yeah. You got Holy Spirit? Yeah. Then you need to go get your butt and your sofa and open that Bible up and ask Holy Spirit what He thinks about your situation. Amen? Because what you've essentially done is tried to get me to take up an Old Testament role. I'm not going to do it. I'm not your high priest. Now, there's a danger in that. And it's a very present danger, and it's in full operation in the church today. And it's called pastor worship. Well, I don't do that. You know, not you guys. I spend too much time pointing you to Jesus. But I know there's whole congregations that worship their pastor. They don't realize it, but they do. And these, the fivefold ministry has a job. And there's a great big circle. You can basically say there's a great big circle. And the fivefold ministry is on the outside of this circle with the people. And Jesus is in the middle of this circle. And we're all pointing you to Jesus. He's the answer. He's the way. And His heart's desire is for you to have a personal one-on-one fellowship with Him. And you ask Him what His design for your life is. Now here's the danger, is pastors or somebody in the fivefold will slip in that circle and get people to asking them all their life's questions. And when people put more confidence in their pastor or their teacher or their whatever they got than they do in Jesus, they're in a dangerous, dangerous place. And that pastor is in a worse place. I've seen it so carried away where people would actually go ask the pastor, say, is this the woman that I'm supposed to marry? I had a young guy tell me, he told me, he showed up in Bible school and this girl was there and you could just see these guys were a fit. He asked his pastor, said, is this the woman I'm supposed to marry? He said, no. And he come by and he told me and I said, what are you doing asking him for? You ask God. So he went and asked God what he thought about it, and they got married. They went on missions trips all over the world. Now they got a couple of really wonderful kids. They got a really good life going on, and things are happening for them. I'm going to tell you something about pastors. Sometimes they're selfish, self-seeking, self-centered, self-driven people. Rarely will you ever find a pastor tell you to go ask God, ask Him for yourself where you're supposed to go to church. See, that's a novel idea. You ever tried that trick before? You should try that. Well, I'm going to just hop around and see if I can find some place where I need to be. Don't do that. ask God where He specifically wants you to be. And He'll put you in the perfect place. Ask God what His design for your life is. I'm going to relate to you a story of another young gentleman that I knew. He had a really busy construction company in Midland. He was doing really, really well. And God had placed it in his heart to go into the mission field. So he went and asked this same pastor, what do you think about that? Said, no, 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 don't do that. No, you're not supposed to sell your company and go into the mission field. You're supposed to stay right here and bring your tithes and offerings into this church. Basically. So the guy didn't sell his company and he skipped out on the mission field. Then 10 years later, he got a hold of me and said, I sold my company, I'm going to the mission field. I said, well, okay. You walked around in the wilderness for 10 years, but you finally got where God wants you to be. And there, look, pastors, evangelists, prophets, it doesn't matter, apostles, they're attached to this broken creation. We all have these earthen vessels. So we're all going to have a tendency to get into the flesh. Amen. The Bible tells us it's Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the one thing that keeps us going. It's Christ in us. We have these imperfect vessels, but it's Christ in us that makes things tick. And it's a hard thing to do for a pastor to not latch on to a sheep and say, no, you're supposed to be right here. You know, now there are times I'll tell people when I know it's for their own safety, say, you need to be in here. You need to be hearing the Word of God. But I try to encourage people to trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding. Because sometimes somebody is called to go somewhere and do something, and that means I have to walk out that door and go on down the road, and we have to let them go. Amen. Regardless of how much money they put in the basket. You know something, I learned something from my pastor. My pastor said, he never looks at the checks. He never looks at the offerings. Somebody else counts those. He doesn't know who gives what, when they give, how much they give. He said, that's not something I'm going to focus on. So I don't want to be focused on that. So the elders look at the church, and or they look at the money and they count it and they know what's there and they know what, who gives what. I have no idea. It makes it easier when somebody comes up to you and says they got to go to the mission field or they got to go do something or they got to go over to this town to say, okay, I encourage that. Amen. But if a pastor latches on to somebody for the money, they're going to say, man, I really think you need to reconsider that. Yeah. No. No, they need to encourage them if God calls you to do something, to go do that. There are pastors in this world that will try to shoot you a false vision for your life. It may sound good, but it's not God's vision for your life. And that's how the enemy slips in and steals your vision. Steals what God has said in your heart. That's why it's so important that we operate the church under New Testament principles, where the pastors and the evangelists and the fivefold, all of them, try to show you how to ask God on your own what you're supposed to do. He wrote down His will for your life right here. That's His will for your life. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. In and of ourselves, a lot of the things that we face in our everyday adventures, you know, whether you like to believe it or not, you've been given a ministry. Well, the minute you got born again, you got given a ministry. And you've been called to be witnesses. So you got a job. You know, there's too many people sitting around thinking they don't have a job. Well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. No, but you're a witness. You may not be part of the fivefold, but you have a very important ministry. Yeah, but I'm not like you. I can't go do this. I'm not like him. I don't know how to do that. You're not called to be like anybody. You're called to be what God created you to be. Amen? Just like the snowflakes falling from the sky, they're all different. God has a different vision for you. But He makes it possible for you to accomplish each vision. He did say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, to some people, you know, like Wayne Myers, all the world means all the world. I mean, that guy has covered the world. Started over 7,000 churches around the world, I think. That's a lot. That's a lot of meetings. But to some people, all the world might be their neighborhood. Well, it's still important. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is us. That's describing us. See, Jesus, when He read that, He opened up to that book in Isaiah, and He read that right out of Isaiah. But the minute you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's you. Now the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And He has anointed you to preach the gospel to the extremely rich, right? To the popular people. See, that was a challenge. I heard a lot of things. When I was in Bible school, people would say, well, I'm called to go to the PBR. I'm called to go to the PRCA. I'm called to go to the big rodeos. And I was going to the county jail. You know, I was just going to the prison meetings, you know, and I was going to the slums, and I thought, how did these guys get these special callings like that? One guy told me that he was anointed to preach to the extremely rich. Man, did I pick the wrong bean or something? You know, I was thinking, what is going on? These guys called to go to all these exotic places, and I'm going, if there's a chance for a fat lip, that's where I get to go. You know, and it forced me to read the Bible and understand that was all a bunch of bull. God called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. To every creature, everybody out there. He didn't send us to go cherry picking. He didn't send us to pre-qualify anybody. Well, then, and that's when things really took off for me. It didn't matter who I talked to, I'd preach the gospel to them. I did find the key to why people were called to go to these exotic places, these fancy places, and I was called to go to the prison system. I noticed there wasn't any offering baskets getting passed around in the prisons and the jails. There wasn't any offerings in the slums. You weren't going to get big checks from the poor people. But Jesus didn't say, go to where you're going to make the money. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. His Spirit is upon you to help you accomplish that. See, there's sometimes things may look insurmountable, but we're not doing it in and of ourselves. We're depending on Him. Ask Him, said, hey, what do you think about this situation? And let Him tell you what to do. Amen. And then be bold enough to do that. You know, I was in a church one time that didn't believe that Christians could have demons. And this lady, they had a prayer line one time, and this lady came up and said, my heart hurts bad all the time. So everybody just ran up there and laid hands on her, started praying the prayer of faith. And I like to check in with God. I like to ask Him what He thinks about certain things. So I stepped back and said, what do you want? And He gave me the words. I just went up there, you spirit of infirmity, you leave this woman now. And she looked right up at me and she said, it's gone. Her heart didn't hurt no more, her chest didn't hurt no more, and she didn't look back at it. So there was some kind of a demon that is putting pressure on her chest, and she got set free from that. The prayer of faith wasn't going to get that. Did you know Jesus didn't run around healing everybody? Now, you would think that's what He did, listening to the most of the mainstream preachers. But a lot of times, He cast the devil out of somebody, and they walked away healed. One time, He even forgave somebody, and he walked away healed. See, the prayer of faith doesn't have the market cornered on healing. There's a lot of different issues that happen to some very complex people. And since Jesus is the one that created us, it would be a good idea to check in with Him, ask Him how to minister to His people. Amen. I mean, if you was a Ford mechanic and somebody brought a Dodge to you that needed some work on it, you wouldn't go in there and say, well, this is how we do it at Ford, and this is what we have put on it at Ford. That's how we do it. No, you wouldn't do that, would you? You would get the owner's manual, or you would find somebody that knew how to work on Dodges and say, what do we do about this? Amen? You can't put all the people in one happy little basket and think one little prayer is going to fix every situation. We need to ask God for directions. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. And I say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it. See, we've all been given a ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21 gives us a really, really, really good breakdown of every believer's ministry. See, we've been called to the ministry of reconciliation. You know, Jesus reconciled us to God, and we've been called to go reconcile others to Christ. That's our job. But it's important for us to pay attention to that ministry. It's important for us to pay attention to that. Be mindful of what God has in store for us. Be mindful of what His plan for this world is. See, His plan is to have a great big family. And our job is to go reconcile others to Christ. Now, we have other dreams. We have other things that catch our interest, you know. And a lot of times you would think by listening to a lot of the preachers that you're supposed to just drop all that. And that's not true. One minister I knew, he's always been a cowboy. And he ended up in the Assembly of God Church, and they sent him to a city. And he thought he was just supposed to just put all his cowboy stuff away and be a minister. And God told him, said, hey, don't lose it, use it. And he said, how am I going to use a rope in the city? So he didn't know what to do. So he took his rope, and he was out on the street, and there was a big corner with a lot of kids playing, and they're running around. He said, what am I supposed to do with this? Well, pretty soon this kid come running by on his bike, and he roped him, pulled him off his bike. And them kids just loved it. Pretty soon they were just one right after another, and he was roping kids. They had a bike, he'd rope them off the bike. If they just come running by, he'd rope them. He ended up having like the biggest youth ministry in that city. He gathered kids all over the place because he used what God gave him. See, God doesn't want you to just stop being who you are. He wants you to be who you are, where you are, but He wants to use what you got to get more people born again. Amen? To minister to more people. Did you know that there's people that you can talk to that I don't really have all that good of ability to talk to? You know, for some reason, I don't know how this is, but there's a lot of judges and lawyers that seem to be in my life. A lot of them. But I don't really know their lingo. They can talk to each other pretty good. I can talk to some cowboys, some goat herders, some roughnecks. But, you know, teachers have this ability to talk to other teachers. You know, bikers have this ability to talk to other bikers. You know, there's a lot of people that you have an open door with because you have something in common with them, and you can talk to them where they might not be interested in talking to me. See, that's why you have this special ministry that nobody else can fill. And God has given you His Spirit to help you fulfill that ministry. It's important for you to pay attention to that ministry. Pay attention to your calling. How can you use your calling in your sphere of influence? You know, maybe it's just the people that you're working around. You know, maybe you have a special knack at talking to people in the hospital. Maybe you have a special knack at talking to people wherever you're working at. you know, when I first got going in this, I knew I was supposed to be a witness. But you got to understand something about me. I really didn't like people. When I got born again, I didn't want to be, at that time, I didn't want to be around anybody. A crowd of five was a lot. And that little county I lived in, it was a lot like this county, is maybe not that many people. So when I got born again and got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden I found myself talking to people that I really wasn't interested in. I just found myself talking to people. And then God just kept expanding my world and stretching my bubble. And one day I was in Fort Worth, Texas, getting ready to go to this big cutting horse show to preach. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, what am I doing here? All these people, this is crazy. That's God in you. I was just letting Him fulfill His dream, and He was using me to do it. That's okay. And here's the thing. If you'll be about God's business, He'll be about yours. See, you'll still be able to do the fun things that you want to do. He wants you to take part in His kingdom. Amen? We better stop there. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for Holy Spirit who empowers us to be witnesses in your kingdom. Father, we thank you that He's always here to give us the words that we need when we need them. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. He called us to be witnesses. And He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said that nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's always here to protect us. He's always here to take care of us. And He's always here to show us who needs to talk to. Give us opportunities to witness to people. And when we're fortunate, we can be part of getting them born again. Be part of the harvest. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here. Come on back and visit with somebody.